Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you joined me today as I really now get into a message that I've entitled The Sin of Opposing God. And God's Word is such a wonderful, beautiful message from the heart of God to His people. It was written by so many different men over such a great period of time to give us examples and to show us God's dealing with man, with His people through the centuries, and how we can learn from their lives, the good things, as well as be warned by the negative things that occurred. Because God has laid a panorama in the Word of God, starting at the very beginning. That's how it starts. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it ends with a final chapter of Revelation, which talks about a new heaven and new earth, and what eternity it gives glimpses of, that glorious time when we will be in perfect fellowship with the Lord and sin will be no more. No sorrow, no suffering, no death. What a glorious future we have to look forward to, those who have confessed Jesus not only as Savior but as Lord. You know, it's one thing to just believe on Jesus, to accept His atoning work in our lives, but it's a whole nother thing to say, Jesus, You are really Lord of my life. In other words, what You want, I will submit myself to You in love and with joy. As the psalmist says, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. And as we look at negative behavior and actions, and sometimes, unfortunately, it can be in the lives of Christians, and I'm sharing these thoughts with you today and in the next few days to help us examine our own hearts to see if, in fact, we could have some stubbornness in there, the unwillingness to change, the unwillingness to learn, the unwillingness to do it any other way than our own way, or to think any other way than our own thoughts. We have to be open. And you know, I was thinking, just like a child is so tractable or teachable, they're hungry, they're curious, they want to learn things. I'm talking about a healthy, normal child that is not abused, a child that is in a good home and having a good upbringing. They want to learn, and they're very impressionable. That's why tyrants and dictators over the centuries have tried to get to the youth, because they can be formed, because they're not stubborn. They're willing to learn, and they're teachable. They'll do what they're told, especially if they can get them at a very young age. And so when we look at negative behavior or actions, we have to understand what is the motivating force behind that. And that root cause for that, especially in the life of a Christian, of course, for the unsaved, they're just acting as their father, the devil. It's only when you've accepted Jesus, you have a new father, and that is the Heavenly Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father. At any rate, it's an unyielded will that is the root cause for sin, for rebellion, because basically you can identify or just sort of sift down or bring to a common denominator, all sin basically is rebellion. It's not doing what God says. And He's not doing out of meanness or of wanting to restrict us, but He's doing it because He loves us, because He knows what is going to make us happy. So now let's go into the scriptures, and I'm going to start reading portions of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And this is an account in the life of Saul. Samuel the prophet also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite the Amalekites, utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Verse 7, "And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and of all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel arose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and has passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. So let's learn now just a little bit about Amalek. The Lord makes a reference to Amalek, who is the son of Esau, and that's in 1 Chronicles 1:36. Well, let me start reading in verse 35. The sons of Esau, Eliphaz, Reuel, Jeus, Jalem, Korah, the son, who would be the grandson of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, Teman and Omar, Zephi and Katam, Kenaz and Timnah, and Amalek. So basically, Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And so let's go on now to verse 13. And we want to see in Saul's actions and in his words characteristics of what it means to be in the sin of opposing God. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Well, the first thing that can be operating, as we see here, is self-deception, his inability to perceive truth. Truth, not in his definition of truth, he may have seriously thought he had obeyed the commandment of the Lord. However, he was in self-deception. The Lord was very specific. In those words that Samuel spoke to him, it was totally clear. There was no ambiguity. It was a complete and total annihilation. And he chose, and the people chose, to do differently. And so they were self-deceived. They thought, I mean, according, there, see, the human heart, the human will can cause us to do things that are contrary to God's will for our lives. Now, let's go on. That's one important lesson, self-deception. And what I'm talking about now are the character traits that are the result of stubbornness. First of all is self-deception. Secondly is carnal thinking. Let's read it, learn some more. And Samuel said, verse 14, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest have we utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, Wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil? See, there was greed and covetousness operating, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And, of course, the express, again, self-deception. Oh, we're just doing it to sacrifice unto the Lord. Anyway, so what do we see here? We see carnal thinking. And let's look at the natural realm of carnal thinking. In one aspect, if you'll just bear with me, Saul is correct in logical common sense reasoning. Actually, why not save the best? Save those that are really superior animals. That's economically sound. And look at another example at the Last Supper when Judas's comment about that precious ointment at the feet of Jesus, that wasn't at the Last Supper, but just before, when he was in Bethany. And he said that oil should have been sold and given to the poor, that money. It could have, and that was actually true, but you see, his heart was corrupt. He was a thief. He kept the money bags. And then also, another famous example was Peter's comment regarding Jesus' death. He said, Oh Lord, be it far from thee, when Jesus started to say he was going to Jerusalem to be crucified. And so, beloved, and what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but be of man. So God's way, beloved, are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And in the spiritual realm, it's positively amazing how people justify themselves. Saul's answer to Samuel was, We spared the best to sacrifice to the Lord thy God. We can deceive ourselves so readily. And this is what carnal thinking does. It perverts what is truth. And what is truth? Truth is the reality of how God sees things, because his word is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and anything outside of those parameters is a lie. Well, we're getting into some heavy waters here, but I pray that you can stay with me as we continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information. I invite you to write if you have prayer needs. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.